This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Coonan in studio. We'll have updates from Whitney Pittman and Sierra Doctor as well. Spotty rains are being seen on radar this morning in northwest North Dakota. There's another area of rain showers in northeast South Dakota, and a small area getting some snow in northeast South Dakota and southeast North Dakota. Fast-moving rain showers are expected today and on into this evening.
The final Farm Bill listening session hosted by commodity groups in North Dakota took place yesterday afternoon. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor was there.
The seventh and final Farm Bill listening session hosted by North Dakota Commodity Groups took place yesterday in Jamestown. North Dakota Corn Growers Association Executive Director Brenda Elmer says crop insurance and conservation programs have been a consistent topic at these listening sessions.
I think that, you know, number one, keep crop insurance strong and a vital risk management tool for our growers. I think sometimes we take it for granted, but as one producer who serves on one of the commodity boards said that you don't realize it, but the support for things we take for granted here in agriculture, there's a disconnect sometimes you feel when you get out to Washington, D.C. And so conservation, I think, was his example, but also, you know, the support of the crop insurance program. The other strong theme we heard was keep those conservation programs voluntary. There's a real worry about that.
Elmer says conservation programs aren't a one-size-fits-all. There's also been talk that this could be the first trillion-dollar farm bill. But Elmer says if that's true, most budget funds will more than likely be delegated towards nutrition programs.
Namely, those nutrition programs have really exploded, I think, especially since the onset of COVID. And, you know, a lot of those entitlement programs have just kind of increased. So, you know, that will be certainly a strain on the budget. A lot of ideas have come out, and we hate to be Debbie Downer, but, you know, we're quick to point out when something is going to cost, you know, expanding this or, you know, swapping this out. And, you know, where is that funding going to come from? And so this is kind of a little reality check, I guess, and educational both ways.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
According to the Congressional Budget Office, the House Republicans' debt ceiling bill would cut the deficit by nearly $5 trillion over 10 years. This proposal includes budget cuts. There is some pushback from Midwest Republicans who want to keep tax incentives for biofuels. The Democrats, who control the Senate and President Biden, do not support that House plan.
Russia's foreign minister is at the United Nations this week, asking the rest of the world to reject attempts by the United States and the West to isolate his country. This is part of a diplomatic effort by Moscow to gain support with developing countries. To gain support, Russia plans to donate grain to African nations dealing with a food shortage.
The European Agriculture Commissioner is optimistic, meanwhile, that five nearby countries will agree to allow Ukrainian grain to move through their countries for export to other parts of the world. Bulgaria, Hungary, Poland, Romania, and Slovakia will simply be transit routes for this Ukrainian grain. These grain products that can't be moved through the Black Sea. The agreement would be limited to wheat, corn, canola, and sunflower products.
While soybeans led the grain market lower, AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Burks says the forecast for Kansas pulled the wheat crop, our wheat markets lower. Burks says some Kansas wheat producers have already zeroed out their wheat acres.
We do know that that's going to be, you know, a main factor of, you know, looking at what's left. And I think when we start seeing, you know, what's actually there, and I think that'll be in the more of our June report, May report. We'll see some of that coming on, what could be harvested. And so there's still a lot of questions out there.
USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service has unveiled its new five-year strategic plan. It includes six goals, including the protection of agriculture from plant and animal disease, expanding safe trade, promoting animal welfare, and addressing the agency's workforce. APHIS also focused on trends. That trends list ranges from threats to security, climate change, and advances in science and technology. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Remember, you can always go online, rrfn.com, and listen to podcasts, including our news and weather updates as well. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota's legislative session is nearing its end. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
Expanding the animal agriculture industry in North Dakota was the goal of several bills introduced to the state legislature this year. House Agriculture Committee Chair Paul Thomas says House Bill 1371 could give the livestock industry the chance to catch up to the growth rate of grain farms in North Dakota.
The overall impact that this will have on North Dakota will be increased opportunity for North Dakota farm and ranch families to participate in modernized animal feeding operations. In agriculture, we've seen grain farming expand and increase in size and increase in those efficiencies. That correlation hasn't been the same when it comes to retaining ownership of animal livestock and growing the dairy herds or the swine herds in our region. And we've seen ethanol plants now that produce the wet distillers grains and dry distillers grains for feeding. Also now with the coming on of crush plants, we're going to see the soybean meal being here as well.
Thomas says there are stipulations in place that will ensure the majority of ownership remains in the hands of those running the operations and places restrictions on corporate structure.
There are the safeguards of, you know, whether you're a limited liability corporation, if you choose to form that way, you do have to have a majority ownership by your family farm and ranches, same as the SUBS corporation. The other provisions then put in there, it limits the amount of shareholders in that corporation. It also limits the size to just be 160 acres, and it limits the scope, so they can't be involved in grain production or any other farming activities. It's just feeding and finishing of livestock.
The bill has been passed by both the House and Senate and is on its way to Governor Burgum's desk. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
Agile agronomy owner Kyle Oakey says there's not an excessive amount of seed available, so farmers who are thinking about changing their planting plan need to be prepared.
This winter, I didn't see any big preferences one way or the other when it came to trait systems to certain hybrids. It's like every year, you're going to find certain corn hybrids and especially like certain canola hybrids that people are going to speak for right away because they know that they perform and they work well. You know, like I know for an Invigor standpoint, the Liberty canola, that's been a hard one to get unless you spoke for your needs right away last fall. There's very, very little seed availability for anyone that's making last-minute decisions, but there are some other good, like TruFlex and regular Roundup Ready options in canola that are still floating around some.
Oakey says weed management may be interesting this year.
My biggest fear was that we're going to have a lot bigger winter annual weeds and an earlier start on things like kochia before we get a lot of seed in the ground. And when the spring goes late like this, we get a really compressed planting window. Everyone gets in a hurry, and it's really easy to forget the sprayer when you're out seeding, and you're seeding for 16-plus hours a day. It gets easy to forget that, hey, I got a sprayer, and I got to actually keep up on these acres on burn down so that I start on a clean slate when I get to my in-crop spray.
The Minnesota FFA convention capped off with the installation of the new state officer team. Caitlin Ketchum of Lewiston Altura is the new president. Tyler Ratka of Ricori is vice president. The slate of officers also includes Secretary Allison Merle of Braham, the treasurer Mason Graham of Grahams of Buffalo Lake, Hector Stewart, reporter Miranda Iden of Buffalo, and Sentinel Mackenzie Cushel of Sabika.
The Minnesota Department of Agriculture hosted a meeting yesterday to discuss options for the High Life pork production plant in Windham. The company plans to permanently close in June if a new buyer is not found. In a statement, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture said city and state officials are ready to work with High Life to help secure a new buyer for that facility.
A group of Republican senators has introduced a resolution of disapproval to overturn a Labor Department rule dealing with H-2A workers. rule increases the minimum wage for those working on H-2A visas. The North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer said the rule increases the cost for farmers and undermines their competitiveness. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Cattle numbers are at record lows. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Vice President of Government Affairs, Ethan Lane, says this is part of the cycle that could give producers an extra leg up when selling cattle.
Well, you know, the cattle market operates on kind of a 10-year cycle, and we see those ebbs and flows in cattle herd. We're certainly in a pronounced herd contraction right now. We knew a couple of years ago that we would see this. It kind of happens on a pretty regular cycle. But as we talked about a minute ago, the drought and those input costs are certainly exacerbating and speeding up that contraction. It means less cattle available in the system. It means more competition for those cattle. That's a good thing for producers. It gives them more leverage in that transaction with the packers. It gives the cow-calf producers more leverage when they sell those cattle.
That doesn't necessarily mean the packers will see tighter margins.
Everywhere in the chain on the live cattle side, on the cattle producer side, that's good news for those folks that are selling calves that are somewhere in that process. But nevertheless, it does mean less cattle available. That's going to mean, you know, tighter supplies for our feeders. It's going to mean tighter supplies for the packers to choose from. So, you squeeze a water balloon on one side and the water all goes to the other, and that's supply and demand.
A new Outlook report from China's Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Affairs highlights a move to self-sufficiency. The report says China plans to grow over 88% of its grain within the next 10 years. That compares to the current level of 82%. Corn, soybeans, wheat, and rice are part of that food security plan.
The strike of Canadian federal workers is now in its seventh day. There are about 3,000 agriculture jobs involved, including grain inspectors. Agriculture groups have voiced their concern to the federal government, saying additional costs will impact farmers.
The South Dakota Hall of Fame has announced its class for 2023. Former South Dakota Agriculture Secretary Walt Bones is being recognized for his achievements in agriculture. The honors ceremony will be held September 8th and 9th in Chamberlain.
Checking those markets this morning, Minneapolis wheat now turning lower. We're down 2 cents for the May contract. We had some gains overnight, but going the other direction now, 8.35¾ a quote. The July contract down a penny. Chicago wheat for May, 3½ higher. And hard red winter wheat for May, 0.5 cent higher. May corn gains 4¾ cents, 6.51¼. New crop corn, 0.5 penny higher. Soybeans for May, 14.48½, 3¼ higher. New crop soybeans, 0.5 cent to the plus side. On the farm calendar, the Minnesota Horse Expo is going on this weekend, Friday through Sunday. That's at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Also, as we look into the farm calendar, we've got the farm safety camps put on by North Dakota State University Extension. There will be a session May 30th through June 1st at the NDSU campus in Fargo. In late June, they'll have a similar farm safety camp in Bismarck at the State College. And NDSU, the Animal Science Department, is hosting a beef field day May 24th. Put it on the calendar. They're going to be showcasing the research being conducted at the Beef Cattle Research Complex and NDSU Beef Unit in Fargo. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.